cooperation, cooperational means. Because if you do business simply for your own sake, and you don't consider or take into consideration of interests of the other party, and that kind of deal will not endure, will not be sustainable. So China chooses to cooperate with countries like Saudi Arabia, with Iran, with other Arab countries. You know, if you look at the content of cooperation, it's really about infrastructure. It's about the energy cooperation. It's about the renewable energy. So in that sense, you know, it's both sides will benefit from such cooperation. And even the U.S. will benefit from, you know, better infrastructure, for example, in Saudi Arabia and in this region. So no, China is not competing with the U.S. or not driving the U.S., you know, out of this region. It's really up to the U.S. You know, you can, U.S. is focusing on security, focusing on selling arms to these countries, you know, profiting from selling arms, profiting from even tension in this region. That's not sustainable, because this region, countries in this region and people in this region, they deserve a better life. They deserve security. They deserve development. And China is here to play that kind of a role. I think that's, that explains why China is popular, why China is welcomed, you know, by Arab countries and other countries in this region.
Be a profound shift if Saudi Arabia and China go ahead with their plans to ditch the U.S. dollar in their mutual business relations. The global standing of the U.S. dollar is partly grounded on the fact that it plays a pivotal role in global oil transactions. Even if some of Saudi Arabia's crude exports is traded in anything other than the U.S. dollar, it would significantly weaken the status of the U.S. currency. The majority of global oil sales are done in dollars, and the Saudis have traded oil exclusively in dollars since the year 1974. That was part of a deal struck between the Saudis and the Nixon administration that included security guarantees for the kingdom. Furthermore, Saudi Arabia has defied U.S. pressure to limit dealings with China and break with fellow OPEC Plus oil producer Russia. And in turn, China has stepped up its support for the kingdom, including helping Saudi Arabia's missile and nuclear programs. Saudi relations with the U.S. has been frosty in recent years, since President Joe Biden had vowed to make Riyadh a pariah state during his campaign for the killing of Jamal Khashoggi. The U.S. economic relationship with the Saudis is diminishing. This could further weaken the U.S. dominance in the West Asia region. In conclusion, the rise of China, India, Iran, ASEAN, and Eurasia and West Asia, they're here. ASEAN may actually displace the EU as the world's most powerful economic bloc. Now, India and China will utterly, which is predicted is going to happen, will crush the Anglosphere economically in the BRICS Plus formation, which will include Saudi Arabia and Iran, just to name a couple. Russia, Venezuela, China, Saudi Arabia, and Iran, as part of OPEC, will control the oil and gas. All of this would then leave the Western and U.S. grip out in the cold. Countries are just tired of the U.S. using the dollar as a weapon, which all means that the U.S. dollar would lose its supremacy. That does it for this edition of Economic Divide. Really enjoyed having you on board. For Mika Vitale and the team, it's goodbye until the next program.
insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, Insights into the Holy Quran, by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom. Please stay with us.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Dear listeners, hello everyone. Welcome to another edition of the program Insights into the Holy Quran. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, and in this edition, we will try to have a closer look at the 25th chapter, Surah Al-Furqan. First, let's just listen to the verses we're going to talk about in this program, and we'll be back shortly. So stay with us.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا إِفْكٌ افْتَرَاهُ وَأَعَانَهُ عَلَيْهِ قَوْمٌ آخَرُونَ
And those who disbelieve say, This Quran is not except a falsehood he invented, and another people assisted him in it. But they have committed an injustice and a lie.
Brothers and sisters, we are now going to discuss the fourth verse of chapter Furqan. The fourth verse starts saying, وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا إِفْكٌ افْتَرَاهُ And those who disbelieve say, This Quran is nothing but a lie which he has forged. وَأَعَانَهُ عَلَيْهِ قَوْمٌ آخَرُونَ And other people have helped him at it. فَقَدْ جَاءُوا ظُلْمًا وَزُورًا So indeed, they have done injustice and uttered a falsehood. So this noble verse is about the pagans' analysis, or in better terms, their pretext-seeking against the call of the Prophet ﷺ when it says, وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِنْ هَذَا إِفْكٌ افْتَرَاهُ And those who disbelieve say, This Qur'an is nothing but a lie which he, the Apostle, has forged. And they say that he was not alone in this. وَأَعَانَهُ عَلَيْهِ قَوْمٌ آخَرُونَ Other people have helped him at it. So, in fact, in order not to shoulder the truth, as those who in the course of history decided to be against divine leaders, they first accused him to falsehood. They accused the Prophet to calumny, and specially, in order to scorn the Holy Quran, they used the word هذا, or this. This means that they wanted to scorn the Holy Quran, they wanted to suggest that this is not an important thing, so they refer to it with هذا, or this. And then, in order to prove that he could not say such words by himself, because saying such meaningful words, of course, needs at least a lot of knowledge, and they did not want to accept it. So, in order to say that this was a calculated program, they decided to say that he was not alone. and others have helped him at it, and that there was a conspiracy, and they must stand against him because he has been having the help of the others in forging these lies through this Quran. And overall, in hadha illa ifkun iftara, they said, this Quran is nothing but a lie which he has forged and nothing else. There is no value in that.
We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to cover more of His divine
in this
word.
Series of programs, we will inshallah discuss the Holy Quran with a thematic approach.
We will inshallah discuss the chapter.
وتمثل القرآن في أخلاقه وفعاله فيه الفؤاد تعلقا وتلاه في جنح الدجى متدبرا.
The context in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in this verse is the context of mentioning the ills and problems and evils of the people of the book, the previous nations who have received revelation, and more particularly the Jew.
Now let's listen to some of the verses of the Holy Quran.
First, let's listen to a few verses.
Now let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran.
Insights into the Holy Quran
by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hausa Seminary of Qom.
Some of the commentators have said that the purpose of the term Qawmun Akharun, other people, is a group of Jews. Some others, however, have said that the objective is three persons of the people of the book. But what matters is that since such matters did not exist among the polytheists of Mecca and some parts of it, such as the story of former prophets and the story of some of the people of the book, they had to drag the people of the book into this accusation so that the people became less astonished and bewildered by hearing these verses. So, how evil and satanic those thoughts were in trying to scorn the Holy Quran, in trying to accusing the Prophet to falsehood and calumny. And it seems that throughout the history, this has been the best way that the polytheists, the unbelievers, the evildoers of the history have taken as their approach towards the righteous people. They always try to say that these people are forging lies and you should not believe them. They're just the usual normal people among us. And in this case, since he had brought something new, something valuable to their world, which was called the Quran, they couldn't believe that he himself had brought it to them. So they, under the pretext of being helped by the others, try to tell the other people of the society that he is forging lie. But this lie was with the help of the others, and that is why sometimes you may be astonished. But the Holy Quran tries to answer them in only one term. فَقَدْ جَاءُوا ظُلْمًا وَزُورًا. We will, God willing, talk about this verse later on. Thank you for staying with us, dear listeners. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key. this life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis sabri was salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sayyid Muhammad Rizvi.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that may this new year bring with it happiness, peace, and tranquility to our community, to the Shias around the world, to the Muslim Ummah, and the humanity at large, inshallah. I would like to talk about this concept of renewal, or reviving our own, you know, focus about life. We see this even in the nature that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. You see the seasons, you know, starting with the different, spring, summer, fall, and then winter. And this cycle goes on every year. And we see in that process also this concept of constant renewal, especially when it comes to the earth. You know, it goes through these phases. In winter, the earth dies in a way. And in spring, basically the earth comes back to life. This is where we see the grass, the trees, the flowers, and the plants, everything, you know, coming back to life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has actually used this concept in Quran where he says, in many different ways. One ayat, for example, he says, فَأَحْيَا بِهِ الْأَرْضُ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا. That Allah is the one who sent down rain from the clouds, and with the rain he revived the earth after it had died, referring to the winter and the spring time. And this is where we see that this, you know, revival is a constant theme in the nature that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. And therefore, you know, when we look at our own lives as human beings, we are part of the nature. And we also always, you know, constantly try in our own ways to basically plan our life according to the days and the weeks and the months and the years as far as we can think of. And even our rituals actually teach us the lesson of how to organize ourselves. You know, the day starts with the salat, the prayers, ends with the prayers. In between, we have time for two other prayers. So basically, these prayers are actually telling us that a Muslim schedule, you know, many people have all these different schedules. Sometimes the calendar comes with the holidays already into it. A Muslim schedule already comes with those timings. Fajr, Maghrib and Isha at the end, and Zuhr and Asr in between. Whatever else is there in your day, you schedule it around it. If we start looking at it from that way, then the focus of our daily planning would be different from what it is now. This is where, you know, Salat then becomes the focal point for us. Even the timings of the Salat, even the ayat that we have in the Mihrab is actually talking about it. You know, that pray from the declining of the sun, this is Zuhr and Asr, until the darkness of the night, Ghasaq al-Layl, which is Maghrib and Isha, and then it talks about Quran al-Fajr, recitation of the Fajr. And so Salat itself is a way of showing us that in your daily schedule already there are some items which have been pre-planned for you. Everything else, you schedule around it. And this is where, you know, looking at it in a more broader way, on an annual basis, for example, people have this habit and interest, and there is nothing wrong about it, to look for different points in the calendar which they can, you know, fix as points of renewal for themselves from different perspectives. If you look at the Islamic calendar, Rajab is actually the beginning of the spiritual season. You know, and that gradually increases in Sha'aban and reaches to the peak during the month of Ramadan. If you look at the Mafatihul Jinan, for example, which has all the A'mal, you will see in the section of the A'mal, it doesn't start from Muharram. Why does it start from Rajab? Because from the, you know, spiritual point of view, Rajab, Sha'ban, and Ramadan are the 3 months of spiritual development. Not that others are not important, but these are the more important ones. Then you look at the, you know, from the common calendars. September is the beginning of the, you know, educational renewal for us. The schools start, the universities start. That is the beginning of the education year. When we look at Muharram, for example, for the Shia community, this is actually a renewal of our commitment to the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam by, you know, going through these rituals of the Aza of Sayyid al-Shuhada salawatullah alayhi majma'in. And so what we see in the common calendar is January being the beginning of the year, and people have this tradition of making resolutions. There's nothing wrong about it. These are all these different examples I've been giving you to show that you can do that. You can say, okay, this is my common calendar's new year, and I have, you know, certain resolutions for myself. And this is where I'll just give you one example, that there's nothing wrong in using January as a point for that. You know, for us, Muharram is the days of Azar. We don't think it in that way. that is more a renewal of our commitment to the Ahlul Bayt. And so if you look at even the Sharia, for example, you are allowed to use your common calendar for some of the religious activities also. When you go through the process of, you know, Khums, and you come to the end of the Khums year, it's interesting that the Sharia allows you, it doesn't have to be Ramadan or Shawwal or Sha'ban or Muharram. You can actually pick your own, you know, common calendar, end of December or beginning of January or wherever is your, you know, fiscal year. And, you know, just a point, don't hold me responsible for it. If you go with a common calendar, you get 10 days extra in your calculation there. If you go with the Islamic calendar, it's 10 days shorter. And so in 3 years, you actually save one more month there. But Shara'an, there is no problem in doing that. And so this is where we see that, you know, you can have a religious calendar for your religious activities, and then you can have the common calendar for your other activities. And so, of course, you can make resolutions today. Just be wise in what you are doing. Just do according to your ability. You know, people have a long, long list, and then nothing is done at the end. You know, whether it has to do with your spiritual life, your health, your family life, your business, or whatever it is. You know, keep the list shorter, be realistic, and then, you know, stick to what you have planned at that time.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karimun Adi Alimun Halim Hakimun Mateen Ghafur Shah قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صل عليه.
In the limelight.
Republican Kevin McCarthy finally succeeded on the 15th vote to become Speaker of the U.S. House of Representatives, but he had to make numerous concessions along the way. We take a look at the U.S. media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. Los Angeles Times tells us more. Representative Kevin McCarthy, Republican of Bakersfield, was elected Speaker of the House early on Saturday morning, 7th of January, after 4 days and 15 ballots, resuscitating a chamber that had been paralyzed as it endured the longest struggle to elect a leader since before the Civil War. That was easy, huh? McCarthy joked after receiving the Speaker's gavel from House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries. I hope one thing's clear after this week, he said. I never give up. McCarthy's long-delayed triumph marks the high point of a congressional career he began as a staffer for former Representative Bill Thomas more than 3 decades ago. But the Republican leader's victory came at a price. In order to secure the votes required to succeed his fellow Californian Nancy Pelosi, Democrat of San Francisco, as the Speaker, McCarthy had to agree to a series of compromises that dramatically weaken the power of the post. The deals McCarthy struck with a group of fewer than 24 hardline Republicans will empower the far right of the Republican Party ahead of a congressional term that promises contentious battles over funding the federal government and increasing the debt ceiling. And so one of the strongest House speakers in America's history is succeeded by what is likely to be one of the weakest, presidential historian Michael Beschloss tweeted early on Saturday, 7th of January. Before finally securing the gavel, McCarthy lost his 14th ballot for Speaker on Friday evening in the most dramatic fashion possible, falling by a single vote, shy of the outright majority he needed. After Lauren Boebert of Colorado and Matt Gaetz of Florida voted present, McCarthy tallied 216 of 432 votes. Matt Gaetz, who missed his name when it was first called, became the decisive vote to determine whether McCarthy would become Speaker or continue his historic losing streak. McCarthy and other Republicans approached Gaetz after his vote, seemingly pleading with him to change it and end the speakership fight. But Gaetz remained unmoved and the vote closed without electing a Speaker. Mike Rogers, Republican of Alaska, was restrained by a colleague after approaching Gaetz. At one point, Marjorie Taylor Greene tried to hand Matt Rosendale her cell phone. Former President Donald Trump was calling, but Rosendale waved her off. House Republicans had moved to adjourn until Monday afternoon after the 14th stunning defeat, but ultimately opposed their own motion and chanted for one more vote. The nature of McCarthy's final bargain was not immediately apparent, but the rules package House Republicans hope to pass next week will reportedly allow a single member to force a vote to oust the Speaker of the House. McCarthy's victory came on the 15th Speaker ballot. The chamber had adjourned Friday afternoon until 10 p.m. to allow two McCarthy supporters to return to Washington to get him over the top. McCarthy had flipped 15 votes his way earlier on Friday, nearly enough to clinch the Speaker's gavel on the 13th ballot. Six hard-right Republicans had positioned themselves for months as hard no votes against McCarthy. Some sent fundraising emails this week highlighting their opposition to the GOP leader. Although they stayed true to their word, refusing to vote for Kevin McCarthy even on the final ballot, they ultimately cleared the way for him by voting present. President Joe Biden congratulated Kevin McCarthy on his election and said he was prepared to work with the Republicans. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, Democrat of New York, took a very different approach. Speaker Kevin McCarthy's dream job could turn into a nightmare for the American people, Chuck Schumer said in a statement. To get the votes, he surrendered to demands of a fringe element of the Republican Party. Kevin McCarthy's concessions to the extremists in his party make it far more likely that the MAGA Republican-controlled House will cause a government shutdown or a default with devastating consequences to the country. CBS News has also covered the same story and tells us more. After a stunning turn of events on Friday night that forced the 15th ballot in the race for House Speaker, Representative Kevin McCarthy, the Republican leader, finally secured enough votes shortly after midnight to become Speaker of the House. His victory followed 4 hours of voting and persistent negotiations with far-right members of the Republican Conference, who kept a win at bay until the 15th round of voting. The selection of a speaker finally paved the way for those elected in November to take their oaths of office and the House to organize. The chamber is set to vote on Monday, 9th of January, to adopt a rules package governing the 118th Congress, which includes some of the concessions made by Kevin McCarthy in talks with conservative holdouts. McCarthy won 216 votes to 212, convincing enough for his GOP colleagues, who had voted against him to support his bid. The six remaining Republicans, who withheld their support for Kevin McCarthy up to the final ballot, Andy Biggs of Arizona, Lauren Boebert of Colorado, Eli Crane of Arizona, Matt Gaetz of Florida, Bob Good of Virginia, and Matt Rosendale of Montana, all voted present. Therefore, the Honorable Kevin McCarthy of the state of California, having received the majority of the votes cast, is duly elected Speaker of the House of Representatives. House Clerk Cheryl Johnson declared at 12:38 a.m. as she read the final vote count. A victory for McCarthy on Friday night had suddenly seemed out of reach after he lost the 14th round by a single vote. Matt Gaetz voted present at the last minute and McCarthy needed his vote. Gaetz's vote angered some of his colleagues, including GOP Representative Mike Rogers, who was physically restrained from charging Gaetz by Representative Richard Hudson. The move by Gaetz and McCarthy's failure to claim the gavel again left the chamber on the cusp of adjournment for the weekend, with Patrick McHenry of North Carolina offering a motion to halt the proceedings for the day and adjourn. But just as Republicans appeared to have enough votes to do so, commotion ensued on the floor of the House and Republicans rushed to change their votes to hold another round. McCarthy told his GOP colleagues to take their seats for one more time. The 15th ballot proved to seal the win for McCarthy.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. This is Viewpoints. I'm Atta, the host of this program. Within the studio are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Brother Muhammad and Sheikh Rouhani. Sheikh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum, welcome to you, Sheikh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And Brother Muhammad, assalamu alaikum to you.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
So, 3 years ago, we missed one of the great dignitaries of Islamic Republic of Iran, General Qasem Soleimani. He was assassinated, and it was vividly clear that the U.S. the Council administration did it, and it was by the direct order of the then president on that time. Unfortunately, we missed it, and this is again another sign of the global arrogance shown by the U.S. to the Islamic Republic of Iran. Today we want to talk about the comprehensive personality and character of General Qasem Soleimani. When he's talking, you know, giving lectures and the sermons here and there, there are so many ayahs of the Quran, ahadith, and as a brother said, it is as if a spiritual trainer or a wayfarer is talking to you, referring to, for example, mystical poems of the Persian language or the Arabic ahadith and the ayahs of the Quran. Makes him very much different, you know, from the other military, as we said, generals all around the world. Okay, so he called himself a true student of the school of thought of the late Imam Khomeini. And the leader, you know, how about this, Sheikh Rouhani?
Yes, of course. You know, Imam Khomeini himself also, when he started this revolution, mm-hmm. it was also a very good example of fulfilling justice.
Very good.
Because he fought against the oppressor, yes. The king, Reza Khan, yes. Muhammad Reza.
Yes.
And, you know, one of the really, really important characteristics of this kind of people like Imam Khomeini or Sheikh Soleimani is this, that we should know that for this kind of people, martyrdom mm-hmm. is a kind of winning. It's a very kind of victory.
Yes.
While, for example, if you look at the other armies, for example, when there was war in Afghanistan and
Vietnam,
Iraq,
for example.
In Vietnam. When the American and the U.S. Army soldiers and commanders, when they were commemorating or celebrating the dead bodies or the funerals of their dead bodies. They were just saying, yeah, we are proud of you because of our own nation, our own people.
We are patriots because
that's
of our flag.
Yeah,
yes.
That's it.
Yes.
But when it comes to this kind of martyrs,
yes,
you know, first of all, these martyrs themselves, mm-hmm. they think that they will get more closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Very good.
By the martyrdom.
Yes.
So they not only lose anything,
yes.
but also they achieve the unlimited.
This is the way to salvation.
Infinite, yeah,
yes.
infinite kind
yes,
of
yes.
happiness, prosperity,
yes.
pleasures.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
So first of all, for themselves, shahada is a step forward towards the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes.
So it's a great achievement. It's not even comparable with what we can achieve in this earthly life.
Yes.
This is the first point. And for the other people, the other mm-hmm. people also regret that why they were not that shaheed.
Again, this is
this is also
again, this
a
has become martyred
yeah.
in the defensive form.
Yeah,
defensive. And we have to differentiate from the ISIS members.
Yeah,
who
yeah
did,
the aggressive
for example,
war is different. Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Suicide bombing.
War.
For in order to reach to Allah subhanahu
yeah,
wa
yeah,
ta'ala.
Yeah.
These two concepts are really
exactly,
different.
Exactly, exactly. That makes a big difference between these two kinds of
unfortunately,
schools.
So many people all
yeah.
across the world cannot differentiate between these istishhadi and intihari.
Yeah, yeah,
you
yeah.
know, these suicide bombing and the martyrdom are really
yeah,
different
of course,
because in one of them, you attack and you kill poor people all around in order to reach to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the other format, you are defending yourself.
Yeah, of course,
you are defending
yeah.
your rights.
You know, this is
but you do not fear martyrdom in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yeah, we have the misunderstanding of Islam always
yes.
that
yes.
we have Amawid Islam in the history
yes.
according to which when Yazid, for example, attacked in Karbala Imam Hussein and his household, the
yes.
household of the Prophet, they even
Good.
Killed or sometimes said beheaded a kid,
yes,
a child, a six-month-old
yes.
child. You know,
yes.
this is the Amawid Islam. But against this, we have Husayni or Alawi or the true Ahl Bayti Islam.
Really, really nice comparison.
Yeah, that's
yes.
why
we
have responsibility to save the innocent civilians,
yes.
to save the children, to save the old men and women,
yes.
the ordinary people, and even in the battlefield. But according to the Amawid Islam, which ISIS or Daesh is also the product of this Islam
yes.
in the history, so that's why their understanding, their idea about Islam might be different.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we should differentiate between these two different schools of thought.
And I think at the end of the day, the people can understand after the shahada of Shahid Qasim Soleimani, who is right, who is wrong.
Yep,
exactly.
Because the people could see that they are losing now their heroes in the region, a person who was, you know, we can say standing and struggling against this, as you said, Salafi extremist behaviors in the region who is only killing,
yeah.
suicide bombing here and there, and how this great personality was missed. Okay, what yeah. else, Brother Muhammad?
I think if we look at the way Shahid Qasim was admitted into the army
mm-hmm.
and then was brought up and
yes.
went through this training, it's very important we understand that we take a look at this system
mm-hmm.
at how this thing works,
yes.
how this Islamic Republic came into existence
mm-hmm.
and what were the motives, what were the objectives, and what led this Islamic Republic to eventually give birth to a person like Shahid Haj Qasim Soleimani.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see many systems came about, and many countries, secular countries, they have militaries, but like you mentioned, they're
yes.
completely different from ours.
Yes, yes.
The system that Imam Khomeini reinitiated from the teachings of the Noble Prophet was that a person comes into the military from the motives of saving others, from defending his country, defending his people,
mm-hmm.
and then paving the ways for the zuhur of the appointed one.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So this system itself, it's very clear that a person like Shahid Qasim will definitely come through the system.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not only, and when we talk about Shahid Qasim, like we mentioned in the beginning of the program as well, we're not specifically talking about himself. We're talking about his school of thought.
Yes.
Because Soleimani was martyred, but Soleimanis are in the way.
Yes.
They're in queue to be martyred.
Okay.
Right.
And there's a greater school Soleimani was a member of which, you know.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
That's
okay. the system that
yes,
we're
yes.
in right now.
Yeah.
That's the system we're in. That's the factory that creates the saviors
mm-hmm.
of mankind.
His behaviors, even in the sociopolitical, we can say, affairs of Islamic Republic of Iran were really exemplary. So many speeches, so many, you know, lectures of the late Shahid Soleimani regarding, for example, the concept of hijab, for example, the concept of politics, the concept of social justice,
yeah.
how this generation gap must be observed. how the gap between the rich and the poor should be solved. You know, all in all, we could see that he was really a role model for so many people, so many young generation. You know, he was, I think, more than 50 years old, but still the young people in the 20s and the 30s were attracted to this character, something which is missed really between, for example, the military generals of the world and the population, I mean the public of the people. That's all right. Sincerity and ikhlas was one of the other attributes of this outstanding man, Sheikh Rouhani, isn't it?
Yeah, of course, so why not?
And how we could understand that this ikhlas, I mean, from what?
You know, I think the generals like Shahid Soleimani, late Shahid Soleimani, rahimahullah, you know, the point is that in this very much difficult and complicated situation in this war against ISIS in Iraq and Syria, we see that it was really difficult to defend the people against Daesh, against ISIS.
Yes.
Because they were like ordinary people, like normal people, and entered any city, any places, any gatherings, and killed innocent civilians. And it was really difficult to identify.
And just look at the vast wilderness of Iraq and Syria.
And also they were supported by great global
powers.
You know, they were facilitated and the most, let's say, modern, advanced technology of war.
Yes.
And it became really difficult to fight against them. Mm-hmm. I think it was the ikhlas, it was the sincerity of these kind of people to finally find out the solution to this problem.
Yes.
It was a kind of blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon them to find out how to defend these people, how to conquer, how to win, for example, this war against ISIS. Yes. So I think what makes Shahid Soleimani as an outstanding kind of, let's say, general, is this, that in this kind of difficult and problematic and, let's say, complicated war, he finally find out the good methods or ways of fighting, finding out the good ways to defend the innocent civilians, to defend Iraqi people and Syrian people against Daesh. This is the point that we should understand about Shahid Soleimani, because many people might claim that they want to fight against, for example, Daesh, against ISIS, but the point is to find how to fight, find out the method, find out the techniques of war. This is important.
Yes,
that's why Shahid Soleimani and the people who supported him, like other, let's say, soldiers and generals.
Yes,
this they were like outstanding people, because they find out those, let's say, suitable and proper techniques, tools, equipments, methods, and ways to fight against Daesh and finally conquer this war. And I think this is very much important.
And in this, we can say Jabhatul Haq against Jabhatul Batil. In the Jabhatul Haq, so many people from the other countries were attending, and they were attracted to the character of Shahid Soleimani, the people from Afghanistan, from Iraq, from, we can say, Pakistan, Fateh Biyun, Zainab Biyun, and so many other groups were attending, and they were attracted, you know, just one speech, for example, in the front, that will give them a spiritual energy in order to continue the war against it. I think that the Western powers, after the martyrdom of Shahid Soleimani, they could understood how wrong they were in supporting, the Salafi extremist group, and how they could find the school of thought Shahid Qasem Soleimani so, we can say, beautiful, we can say, so much friendly and kind to the world. This is, I think, at least in words they are looking for, freedom, and we can say, that's right, justice for all.
Yeah, they're really grateful about that.
Okay, Brother Muhammad, we got about 1 minute, and we are done.
With regards to the sincerity, I must point out one of my encounters with one of my friends. When Shahid Qasem was martyred, I was surprised. It was a very surprising attack, right?
Yes.
And then I met this friend and I told him, I said, who is Shahid Qasem? He asked me, who is Shahid Qasem? That's the point I realized he was really sincere.
Yes.
Because if this guy was not sincere, then all the conquerors he had, all the victories he had would have been bolded, would have been brought in TV, would have been advertised as much as he can, because he had all the power. He was a military general. Mm-hmm. But he kept it to himself. And if you look at all his speeches, either it was if he would brag, not rather instead of saying brag, I'd rather see if he would give lesson about his encounters in the battlefield. It would be for the lesson for the others, not to brag about it or not to show off. You will find him sometimes crying, talking about how he saw the mercy of his mother Fatima in the battlefield.
Yes.
Right. And this shows the sincerity of Shahid Qasim in the battlefield and otherwise.
That's all right. According to his last will and testament, and according to his own last will and testament, he was buried beside the other soldiers in a, we can say, that's right, cemetery in Kerman.
There is no shrine or mausoleum for him.
Yes,
it's
yes.
A simple grave.
Very much reminding me of what Shahid Zainuddin said,
exactly.
That bury me beside the other soldiers who were martyred without any Muslim, without any shrine or dome or something like that. Yeah, this
also,
shows the sincerity.
In his
yes.
will, he also emphasized that they put soldier in his
yes.
grave,
yes,
not
yes. Sarbaz.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes,
not like,
right.
you know, a general or colonel
that's
or
right.
anything.
That's mm-hmm. all right. Thank you very much, Brother Muhammad and Sheikh Rouhani. Nice elaboration regarding the personality of Shahid Qasim Soleimani. May Allah bless the soul of this outstanding way, and the hard extreme revenge is underway for those assassinators of this outstanding general. All across the world. Thank you very much. It was very kind of you. Thank you much.
Thank you.
And thank you much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Viewpoints. For more information, visit our website, parstoday.com/en/call of Islam page. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iran Sat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك. ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program, Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and we are joined by Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam, brother Mahdi, and Assalamu alaikum to all the dear listeners who are listening to this program.
Thank you for accepting our invitation, brother.
Thank you.
Well, dear audience, as you may know, the program Let's Recite the Quran consists of several Quranic parts. First, we are going to talk about a Quran reciter. Then we are going to listen to a recitation by that reciter. And after it, Brother Muhammad will analyze that recitation. So stay tuned. Today we are going to listen to a recitation by Sheikh Abul Ainain Shu'aisha. He was born in 1922 in Kafar al-Sheikh Governorate, and before he turned 10, he had memorized the whole Quran. His first Quran recitation teacher was his father, Ahmad Shu'aisha. He had a warm voice and precisely pronounced each and every word and letter. Gradually, Sheikh Abul Ainain Shu'aisha became a very well-known and skilled reciter. He was admitted to the Egyptian radio while he was only 17 years old, and he was the youngest reciter to enter the radio. He was first an imitator of Sheikh Muhammad Rif'at's style of recitation, but gradually he developed his own style. Abul Ainain Shu'aisha was the only Egyptian reciter who witnessed all the generations of reciters since the time reciting the Noble Quran became professional. He saw the reciters before the age of the radio, and now he saw the reciters of the fourth generation of recitation. He was considered the living history of Quran recitation in Egypt. He had important titles, such as being the reciter of Sayyida Zainab Mosque in Cairo, Naqibul Qurra, member of the testing committee of reciters in the radio and television, member of the board of the Holy Quran in the Endowment Ministry of Egypt. He also was the chairman of the jury panel in Islamic Republic of Iran's 15th International Quran Competition in 1998. Sheikh Abul Ainain Shu'aisha passed away on June 23rd, 2011, at the age of 89. May Allah bless him. Now it's time to listen to the recitation of Sheikh Abul Ainain Shu'aisha reciting verses